Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everybody here. Terry, we're so happy to see you. Chuck, all those who are having difficulties. I'd like to mention Brooklyn and Mackenzie also, our two little girls back here. It's so good to have them come and visit us wherever they can. So we need to keep them in our prayers as they continue to learn God's Word. I'd like to ask you, if you would, to open to the Bible, the book of Psalms. And I'd like us to think this morning about a very important question. Does God want you to be happy? Does God want you to be happy? If you look at Psalm 40 and verse 16, it says, "Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." So God wants us to rejoice and to be glad. Turn to Psalm 105 and verse 3. And here it tells us to glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. But there are many passages of scripture that tell us and exhort us to have this joy and to rejoice in God. Turn to Psalm 98. Psalm 98, verse 4. Here it says to shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praises. The New Testament tells us the same thing. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And here we're told this, it says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Now, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Again, the same idea. Here he says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So the bottom line, y'all know what the bottom line means? The heart of the message is simply this. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be happy. And Christians are to be a joyful people. Christians are to be joyful. So here's the question then. Why are there so many people who are unhappy? And even some who profess to be Christians might struggle to do exactly what God commands us to do, to rejoice always, to shout joyfully. So let's examine some of these things this morning. Can we truly say that we are happy? And I want to, again, preface this by saying, if you can't say that, then you're not obeying God. God wants you to rejoice. God wants you to be joyful. God wants you to be happy. There's some ideas here about, I think, one major reason people are not happy as God wants them to be. Abraham Lincoln, do you remember who he is? Abraham Lincoln? He said this, people are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. People are about as happy as they make up their minds to be. Another person, a Roman emperor, no man is happy who does not think himself so. So the idea there has to be that happiness is something that you have control over, no matter what your situation is. I mean, when he says rejoice, when? Rejoice always. Shout joyfully to the Lord. It's something he wants us all to do. So the idea, it's not where you're at, it's not what conditions you're in right now, but you yourself can either be happy or what? Or miserable. But God wants you to be happy. So unhappiness then is not having the proper frame of mind about people you're around, things, or circumstances that we encounter every day. That's just a definition. That is, you don't have the right disposition, right mental attitude about where you're at, the things that you're facing in life, and the circumstances that you have. Now, the scriptures tell us this. Happiness, which we all seek, will only come when we are living in a right relationship with God and we are obedient to His will. Let me say it one more time. Happiness will only come when we have a right relationship to God and we are being obedient to Him in all things. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. These scriptures here are probably so well known because they're quoted so often. But here it talks about happiness, being blessed. So here, happiness, or as the King James Version says, blessed, it tells us having a spiritual mind, one that is obedient to God, is a happy mind. Now look at the qualifications here. Verse 3, blessed or happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed or happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed or happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed or happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed or happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed or happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And blessed or happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then blessed or happy are those when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. So here he tells us all the things that we can do to be have the spiritual mindset to be happy in the sight of God. So if we have this right understanding of what it means to be happy, then we're going to focus on spiritual things in this life. Now let's consider some things that are necessary. Let's turn first to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. One obstacle that people face in this world is they want things and they can't have them. They think if I simply have this, it's going to make me happy. Is that a true statement? If I simply have this, it's going to make me happy. So again, as we look at God's word, we're going to find that's not true. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. What's he saying? I didn't keep away from anything. Whatever I desired. Whatever I desired. Look at verse 11. Then I looked at all the works that my hands had done, and all the labor which I had toiled. And indeed, all was vanity and grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. So here's the recognition. He states it very clearly. Happiness is not going to be found in possessing things. We look at our neighbors, we see what they have, and, oh, I want to have that too. That is not what's going to bring us happiness. So again, the idea here is we need to make sure we look at God's word and understand what will bring us true happiness. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. One thing God wants us all to be is to be content with what we have. To be content with what we have. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning of verse 6, he says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. There's the key. Godliness with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world, and certainly we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with all these shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in the destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So here again, happiness, spiritual, as God commands us, is going to be based on being content with what we have. Go ahead and look there now at verse 11 of 1 Timothy chapter 6. But he says, but you, O man of God, flee these things. He's talking about the love of money, the root of all evil. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed with good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So here what Paul is trying to really point out is people can deceive themselves into believing that if they simply possess things, that it's going to make them happy. Paul says, no. Be content with the things that you have. Let's turn, well, Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 7 tells us the same kind of thing. It says, all the labor of man is for the mouth, and yet the soul is not satisfied. Let me say that one more time. All the labor is for what? For the mouth. He's focusing on this. We do it. We go to work. Why? And I've thought about this many times. God has provided me a means to provide. But what do I really need? Does God provide me with what I need? Yes, he does. I just need a few chips during the day, okay? Some place to lay my head, and a place to spend time with my family and God. That's it. Everything else is what? I got to maintain it. I got to keep it up. If it breaks, I got to fix it. All right? A lot of labor goes into that. The basics, what I need, God provides that. And I need to be content with what God has provided to me. Let's turn now to something else, too. Is sometimes people want to be different from what they really are. They want to be different. They look at somebody else and say, wow, they're smarter than me. They're taller than me. They can swim faster than me. And they want to be like that. They want to have something that they're not. Is that a true statement? Sometimes we desire other characteristics that people have. So again, we need to accept ourselves as we are. We all have different strengths and different limitations. We have been given these things that we have from who? From God. And there's an illustration. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Because here God illustrates that you need to be content with what God has given you. And you need to use what God has given you. In Matthew chapter 25, and beginning in verse 14, it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. And we're not going to read the rest of this, but the idea that I want to focus on is in verse 15. He gave them each something different, didn't he? One he gave 5, one he gave 2, and one he gave 1. And then it says, why? To each according to his own ability. That's the important thing. He gives to each according to his own ability. Now, each of those used those talents in different ways, didn't they? The 5-talent man brought more. The 2-talent man brought more. But the 1-talent man? No. And that's the important thing, because he condemned the 1-talent man because he did not use wisely what was given to him. And that's the important thing. God wants you to use wisely what he has given to you. Something else, too, is often people think that, you know, I don't like it here, I'd be happy somewhere else. You ever thought that way? I don't like it here, I want to move and go somewhere else. Well, there's nothing wrong with moving and going somewhere else. But if you think that simply moving somewhere else is going to make you happy, is that a true statement? No. It's not. So we need to be happy wherever we are. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 16. Israel had an experience in the wilderness when they left Egypt. Now, first, they were really excited. They were promised something. A land flowing with what? Milk and honey. And they are really happy about this, right? A land flowing with milk and honey. But along the way, they began to face some challenges and some hardships. And then their mindset or their attitude about Egypt changed. Where was Egypt? Egypt was where they were what? Slaves. Egypt was where they were commanded to kill the firstborn male child. They left that land. God led them away. You'd think they'd be happy, right? Let's turn to Exodus chapter 16 and verse 1. Because when they faced this challenge, it says, as they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt. Note, the 15th day of the second month. Roughly what, 45 days? 45 days away from Egypt and all the pain, the suffering, the misery, the persecution they faced. 45 days. Now look what it says next. Verse 2. Then the whole congregation, the children of Israel, complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. When we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Were they happy they left Egypt at this time? No. You look back at it, even though it was horrible living conditions, and they said, oh, if we only were back there. Now, God gave them water, God gave them manna, God gave them quail, but they still murmured and complained against God. Can we be guilty of this too? Thinking if we only had this, if I only had that, I would be happy. Let's turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 14, because now God finally shows them the promised land. They send the spies in there to take a look at it, and they come back with a report. The majority of them said, no, we can't do this. People are too big. They're giants. In Numbers chapter 14, beginning of verse 1, so all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Now, God commanded them to go in to take this land, didn't he? He commanded them to do it. He assured them they'd be victorious. They would possess this land. But because of the report they got from some of those who went to spy the land, they doubted and they were fearful. And they did not listen to the commandments and the promises of God. Verse 2, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword that our wives and children should be victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they all said one to another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. So here in another situation, we find that Israel simply could not be happy. And this is an important lesson. No one can be truly happy until God is the center of your life. Until you're willing to be completely obedient to Him, no matter what the conditions you find yourself in. It looked overwhelming. These giants, that's the report they were given. You can't do it. We're going to be defeated. And the people listened to that rather than who? Rather than God. Could that be happening today in our world? People are fearful about what might happen to them. I brought this up many times. We all had better make plans, and we all need to make decisions now about how we're going to respond to certain things that are going to befall us. You need to make that decision, and you need to have that conviction. What am I going to do in this situation? Now, Israel, these people murmured because God was not the focus of their lives. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30. Because of all those people, at least there were some who believed what God said. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, one of the spies who went in, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession. We are able to overcome it." Did he have confidence? Yes, he did. Why? He trusted in God. And that's the kind of attitude we need to have. We need to trust in God no matter what conditions we find ourselves in. Something else about happiness, the kind of happiness God wants us to have, is we need to follow the rules. Follow the rules. Have you ever had difficulty following the rules? In my classroom, the kids would come to me and they would ask for things and they knew it was against the rules. And I would look at them and I would say, "Dr. Cruz is not going to break his number one rule." And they'd look at me, their face shocked. I said, "Dr. Cruz, what's your number one rule?" I said, "Dr. Cruz is not going to jail. If I allow you to break a rule, that means I broke the rule, and I could go to jail." And they learned that rule very quickly. So they would come and they would keep asking me, and I would say, "No, I am not going to break the rules." Let's turn now to Luke chapter 15, because here's somebody who thought that if he got away from his where he was at, if he took all he had, he would enjoy and have happiness. In Luke chapter 15, beginning of verse 11, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them their livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Took what he had, went to a faraway land, and wasted it. Now, at some point, it got really bad. Look at verse 14. "And when he had spent all there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want." So he goes from having this wealth that he wasted it in prodigal living it up, and then what happens? Now there's a famine. Has his conditions changed completely? Yes. Now, look at verse 15. "Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods and the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." Could it get any worse than the situation he was in? It probably could. He doesn't say he was physically injured, but he's feeding the swine. And he wished he could eat the swine's food, and nobody would give him anything. Look at verse 17. And I will tell you, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. "But when he" what? "Came to himself." I would highlight that and underline it. "Came to himself." What does that mean? He's looking at his condition that he's in. But more than just looking at the condition you're in, how did I get into the condition that I'm in? Did he make some poor choices? Yes, he did. He took what his father gave him, his inheritance. He went away from his father, his family, to a faraway land. He wasted it in riotous living. He made all those wrong decisions. And now he's living in horrible conditions. And what I love about it, it says he came to himself. He realized that what he had done, he should not have done. And who's he blaming? Is he blaming somebody else? No. And that's the important thing. He came to himself and he realized that he brought this upon himself. Sometimes we talk with people about their spiritual condition. And what do sometimes people want to do? They want to blame somebody else. I lost my job. My boss is awful. My wife left me. My children don't respect me. They want to blame everybody else, but what they don't do. They don't look at themselves and the decisions that they've made in their life. So it's so important because he came to himself. And look what he says. How many of my father's servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he rose and went to his father. A realization that he was not in a right relationship with his father when it came to himself. Now, there might be somebody sitting here right this morning. You've not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are you in a right relationship with God if you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, you're not. And we pray that you will come to yourself and acknowledge that. That you have sinned and you need to go back to your father. Your father's waiting for you to do that. So again, it's so important that we need to make sure that we follow the rules. Let's turn to the book of Lamentations. Oh, we're going to be studying that book pretty soon here. The book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3. And here we read this. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. God is good to those who wait for him, who look to him. Look at verse 27. It is good for a man to hear, it's good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. What does that mean? When you're young, when you're making decision, in your youth, make sure that you are making everything you can do to be faithful to God. That's what he wants us to do. Now, sometimes you're going to get some difficult things thrown at you. And that's when you need to learn to wait on God. You need to continue serving God. You need to learn what it means to endure those hardships. That's what God wants you to do. Let's turn now to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Because if we look at the world today, who said that there's nothing new under the sun? There's nothing new. And when we look at what's happening, a lot of the wars and all the things that are taking place, a lot of it comes down to having false gods. And again, a lot of people don't study it or understand it. But when you have the war that's going on now between Israel and the Hamas, what kind of war is that based on? Primarily religion. All right? Primarily religion. But most people don't understand that. They don't understand it. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Again, we began this message this morning about asking a question, am I happy? And we looked at the idea that God wants you to be what? He wants you to be happy. Rejoice always. Sing praises unto God. God wants you to be happy. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, go down to verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Is that a true statement? Yes. In a book, we're studying the book of Daniel, that came up. There are many different world religions today. And look what he says there. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what? The will of my Father in heaven. Now, have you ever met somebody who says, and I've done this, I asked somebody, a doctor at Harvard University, I asked him, what do you need to do to be saved? And his response is, Jesus is Lord. That's what he said to me. You know, the Bible says that even the devils know that Jesus is Lord. So simply saying that Jesus is Lord does not mean that you have a right relationship with him. And he says it right here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall what? Enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So just saying that Jesus is Lord or calling him Lord does not mean that you are in the kingdom of heaven. What you need to do is you need to make sure that you are doing his will. Being obedient to him today. Now again, a lot of people today are unhappy. They're miserable. They're not content. Some people refuse to work. Some people are enslaved to drugs and to alcohol, to sex, promiscuous living. They have no morality in their life. And Satan loves that. Satan loves people to be miserable and discontent and looking for happiness in other things other than God. We'll conclude the lesson there because all these things out there that people are attracted to, it's like shining lights or might give them some temporary pleasure, but it's not the happiness that God is speaking about. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to have joy. So if you want to be happy, what do you need to do? If you want to be truly happy, what do you need to do? You need to submit your will to God's will. And you need to be truly faithful to him in everything you do. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel. That's your first step to happiness. You need to turn to him. Having heard the gospel, you need to be willing to confess him. You need to repent of your sins. And you need to be baptized for remission of sins. That's just the beginning. And then we need to be faithful unto him until when? Faithful unto him until tomorrow morning? Faithful until death is what God asks us to do. If you're here this morning, if you desire to obey the gospel, if you need the prayer of this congregation, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.